A morning of today's daf in Erevin, Samech Ches. We're on the bottom of Samech Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to be continuing in the Gemara. We're going to be starting at the two dots today, right as the short lines come to an end. The Gemara is going to continue in its discussion of Eruvei Chatzeros. We are still holding by the first Mishnah of our Perek. First Mishnah when our Perek was presented to us all the way back on Samech Aleph Amud Beis. And not only are we holding by the first Mishnah, we're holding by the first Psak of the Mishnah. So this has now been, in Daf Yomi terminology, a long amount of Gemara to be spending on not even a full Mishnah, but on a single Mishnah. Only when we get to the end of today's Daf do we even start with the second half of the Mishnah. So this first sugya here in the sixth parak is extraordinarily long. Tomorrow's Daf, we're going to be turning to a new Mishnah. Anyway, in the course of this parak, so we've been discussing Eruv Chatzeros and the very basics and fundamentals of Eruvei Chatzeros, first the basic institution of the ability of people to be able to carry within a chatzer that is resided by more than one Jew. So you have to make an Eruv. Everyone has to contribute bread. The bread is going to be collected. Bread is going to be placed in somebody's house. And that's going to be me'arev. That's going to mix everyone together and unite everybody together. And through that tikkun derabanan, so now everyone would be able to carry from the homes into the chatzer. Additionally, we spoke extensively, especially the last couple of days, about bittul harishos, meaning to say that if one of the Jews who resided in the chatzar did not make a contribution, so under those circumstances, so he can nullify his rishos and thereby relinquish his ownership of the chatzar to the other members of the chatzar. And so once he relinquishes them, once he moves himself out, takes himself out of the picture, so then the remaining members of the chatzar who did in fact contribute to the Eruv, so now they can be able to carry from their homes into the chatzar and also to be carrying within the chatzar itself. We also have discussed with detail in this perek the idea of schirus harishus, that if I have a non-Jew who lives in the chatzar, so we have to rent out his rights to the chatzar in order to enable to carry. Without the schirus harishus, so then the Eruv simply does not work. And so the non-Jews residing in this chatzar, so the only way to resolve his ownership is to rent it out. And that is also something that we discussed in great detail. With all that stated, it sets us up now for the following discussions. A number of times in today's daf, we're going to be talking about a baby on the eighth day where the meal is to be done on Shabbos. And there were some Erev considerations, in that the baby is in a chatzer or in a home in the chatzer and no Eruv was made, and obviously it's going to present problems in terms of bringing things over to the baby. So let's start off with the Gemara. Just before we start with the Gemara, just to explain a little bit better, a little bit of background over here. When they did the bris milah, regardless of what day it was, so they would have hot water. Hot water was considered a critical component of the milah. Now, exactly what's done with the hot water, so presumably they would bathe the baby with the hot water. And it also seems pretty clear that the bathing of the baby was done both before the bris milah and after the bris milah as well. Okay, and this was considered something which was important and significant for the milah. Created however they viewed sterility. It created a sterile environment. Whatever the case is, that was the minhag. They would bathe the baby both before and after the milah. And so the Gemara now tells the following story: how Yenuka Dishtapech Chamima. So there was a baby; it was 8 days old. It was on a Shabbos, and what happened was is that the hot water spilled out. Presumably, it spilled out before the Bris Milah. And if it spilled out after the Bris Milah, so the baby now is in a state of sakana. And we know it was repeat time and again. Anytime you have any question of sakana snafashos, even if it's suffic sakana snafashos, so you're mechal al Shabbos. So we wouldn't be having a discussion about whether or not one could violate Nisr Daraisa. And it goes without saying you could violate Nisr Darabanan if we're talking about Sakanas Nefashos. So presumably over here, we're talking about where the water spilled before the Bris Milah. But regardless, so Amlu Rabba, so Rabba says, Naisalei Chamim, let me go Beisai. So Rabba says, good. So I happen to have a home over here within our Chatzer. And I have hot water within my home. So go get the hot water from my house. So Amalei Abaye v'halo arvinan. So Abaye says, yeah, but we didn't make an Eruv. And later in the daf today, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, or the basic question, which is, how can there be an Erev that is occupied by these greats, by these Amorayim, and meanwhile no Erev was made? The Gemara is going to be just amazed by that idea. That's something that's going to come up a little bit later on in today's daf. So Abaye says, we didn't make an Erev, so you can't do it. So Amalei, now obviously over here, again, I'm just going to reiterate, so there's no question of Sekhanas Nefashos, because if there was a question of Sekhanas Nefashos, so then the issue of Erev, which is at worst a Din D'Rabbanan, not carrying from your house into the Chatzer, or to an adjoining house within the Chatzer, so that's a violation of a Din D'Rabbanan, of an Issur D'Rabbanan. So if there was a Sekhan involved, so clearly that wouldn't stand in the way of a Sekhan. An Issur D'Raisa wouldn't stand in the way of a Sekhanas Nefashos. Okay, so it must be over here that the alternative to not bringing the water would just simply be a postponement of the bris to the next day, which fine. Okay, so the Gemara says we didn't set up an Erev. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi says back to Abaye, Nesma Chashitav. So then he says, okay, well, we must have made a sheet of Mevos, meaning that the houses that were connected to a Chatzer in turn were also connected to a Mavui as well, and the Mavui has other chatzeres that are connected to the Mavui. If Mavui, by definition, has other chatzeres connected to it. And so, as much as there is a requirement to make an Erev for a chatzer, additionally, there's a requirement to make a shita for the Mavui, where all the members and the participants of the Mavui are going to be mishtatev. They're all going to combine. Now, the purpose of the shita of Mavos is much like the purpose of the Erev for the chatzeros. Much like Erev for Chatzeros allows people to carry from the homes into the Chatzer, similarly, the Shitav allows people to carry from the Chatzer into the Mavui. What the Gemara over here is suggesting is the following, that really, principally, every Chatzer should make their own individual Erev. However, if collectively there was a Shitav done to the Mavui, so members of the Chatzer of that Mavui can use the Shitav in order to be able to carry within the Chatzer. And so it doesn't sound like ideally it's the best, but certainly it is something which you could do. And so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that maybe that's what we should do. Let's rely on the Shitav. So Amar Lei, so Abaye says to him, Halo Shatfinan. Okay, yeah, but we didn't make that as well. We didn't make an Erev, we didn't make a Shitav. So Namalei Lanachri Lei Salei. So Rabbi says, okay, so Amir Lakam, let's tell a non-Jew to go ahead and bring it. Now, telling a non-Jew to do something on Shabbos is an Isser Durabanan, that's Amir La'akum. We discussed it back in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. Kuf Chaf Aleph. So we discussed the Isurim of Amir La'akum. So anyway, but okay, but we're Amir La'akum under these circumstances would be okay, for reasons which we're going to articulate a little bit later on why. So Amar Abaye Baila Shula Amar Bala Shafkin Rav Yosef. So Abaye says at this point in time, you know, it didn't sit well with me what Rabbi was suggesting, that we'll just simply ask a non-Jew to bring it over. And it didn't sit well with me, but at this point in time, so Abaye says, but I was quiet. And why was I quiet? Because Rav Yosef told me to be quiet. The Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Kahana, Ki Havinam Be Rav Yehuda Hava Amarlan. And Rav Yosef now explains to Abaye here, when we were together with Rav Yehuda, so he would say the following to us. And he would say, B'daraisa Mosfinan Tiyufta Bahadar Abdina Maisa, B'darabanan Abdinan Maisa Bahadar Mosfinan Tiyufta. Now I'm going to explain the Gemara using an expression that we're all familiar with, but I'm going to be as clear as possible in terms of explaining the Gemara. Basically, when it comes to Nisra Daraisa, so you could first shoot and then ask questions, but when it comes to, let's do that again. Let's do it correctly. If it's an Nisra Daraisa, so you don't shoot and ask questions, meaning you have to ask questions and then afterwards you can shoot. But when it comes to Nisra D'Rabbanan, you can shoot and then afterwards ask questions. Okay? In other words, by Yisur D'Rabbanan, where there is room to be makel by Nisra D'Rabbanan, so you're allowed to do what you think is the correct thing to do. And if there are questions and discussions to be had, that could be postponed to a later point in time. This is the Gemara's rule that Rav Yosef informs Abaye, and so even though Abaye is curious as to Rabba's suggestion that we should ask a non-Jew to go ahead and bring the water from another house in the Chatzer, that there was no Erev and there was no Shitov, and Abaye didn't love the idea, but basically Rav Yosef says to Abaye, not now, let's do it, and then afterwards we want to have a discussion, you can have a discussion afterwards. Now Rashi over here writes very clearly This idea of the Gemara is only after a psak was issued. Rashi writes, three lines from the bottom, B'daraisa Mosfina Tiyufta, B'Issa Shal Torah, V'Chacham More Bo Heter. And Rashi writes that there was a hara, there was a ruling over here. V'Yesh Tamidim Sheyodeh La'ashiv Yashiv Kodem Maisa. And there are students over there who basically say, you know, interesting psak halacha, right, creative psak halacha, but doesn't seem to be right. So on an Issa Daraisa, so the student should be asking the questions right there and then. That's Rashi's understanding of a Gemara over here. This is all after a psak was given. Shalonavar al divrei Torah, because over there, we don't want to violate Nisa Torah. Aval bidra abadin kagone ruvichatir shev kina lechacham la'asoske horaso. But when it comes to Nisa Darabana, like what we're discussing right now, carrying in an un-Eruv Chatzar, Nisa Darabana, so over here, if Rabba thinks that that's a correct psak, and Abai didn't think it was a correct psak, but it's an Nisa Darabana, so what Abai should do is suppress any questions, postpone any questions. You want to discuss it, you can discuss it afterwards. You don't have to discuss it right now. Okay, that is a Rashi. So that means to say that Rashi frames the entire discussion of a Gemara over here only after psak has been issued. Under these circumstances, by Nisa Darabanan, let the Psak stand, even though you don't fully agree. By Nisa Daraisa, no, don't let the Psak stand. If you have, if it really bothers you based on sources, so you should challenge the Psak and question as to whether or not this is correct or not correct. Fine. So the Gemara says, Levasar Hachi, Levasar Hachi Amarle. Okay, good. So Rabbi issued his psak that will ask a non-Jew to go ahead and bring the water from somebody else's house, thereby transferring it in an un-Erev Chatzir, and the story goes on. Now the story goes on, so afterwards, Abbas HaHachi Amar Lei, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, my bias was for Lamar. What exactly was your question on Rabbi? Meaning, okay, now it's a good time to discuss. So Amar Lei Detayin, he says, what about the following brisa? Hazah Shvos, Ve'amir L'Nachir Shvos. You know, sprinkling of the ashes of the solution of the Parah Aduma, so that's an Issa D'Rabbanan, one is not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now the Gemara's assumption over here is that one's not allowed to do that on Shabbos because he would be violating Issurei D'Rabbanan. Now certainly that makes sense, that's not Issa D'Raisa, because what malacha are we talking about? You're just taking the solution of water and ashes and you're sprinkling on a person. It's not a bath, it's not a shower, it's Tahara. And what other malacha could it be? There's no malacha. So one's not violating malacha d'oraisa, but the Gemara's assumption is that it is, in fact, an iser d'rabbanan. What exactly, why did the Chachamim prohibit it? So presumably, and Rashi, not here in our Gemara, but Rashi elsewhere, speaks about the idea that it's tikkun gavra. In other words, you're fixing something, you're correcting something. Person's going from a state of tumma to a state of tahara. Anyways, it's an iser d'rabbanan to do so. And Amir Lanachri, and asking a non-Jew to violate Shabbos, that's also an Issur D'Rabbanan. So Mahazar Shvos Veina Dochas HaShabbos, Af Amir Lanachri Shvos Veina Dochas HaShabbos. Now, we know that one cannot do Hazar on Shabbos, and we just simply postpone it until after Shabbos, and why don't we say the same thing over here about Amir Lanachri? And as Rashi points out over here, this idea that we're not going to be allowing the Hazar to be done on Shabbos, that's even in the face of a mitzvah. Let's say, for example, person wants to bring Karm Pesach, and right now he's in a state of Tumas Mace, which would obviously exclude him from bringing the Karm Pesach. So under those circumstances, so if, let's say, Shabbos is his last opportunity, so Pesach, like it's going to fall out this year, Pesach comes out on a Motzei Shabbos, and so now Shabbos becomes his last opportunity to become Tahor, So, but sprinkling is Nisa D'Rabbanan. So the halach is, we say, look, sorry, we're not going to be violating Nisa D'Rabbanan just so you can bring the Karban Pesach. So even if it stands in the face of a mitzvah, we won't be violating Issur D'Rabbanan. And so why don't we say the same thing over here? Your Rabbah says, Amir L'Nachri, and go get the hot water, and then we could do the bris milah. No, I'll just simply say, don't violate the Issur D'Rabbanan. We'll simply postpone the milah till tomorrow. It seems to be that the two cases are parallel one with the other. Good. So this is the question that bothered Abaye, and so good, and that's why he wanted to stop Rabbah. But again, it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, so Rav Yosef says, don't stop Rabbah. But now that we hear Abaye's question, the question seems pretty good, and what would be the defense? So Amalei, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, V'lo shani lamar, V'lo shani lach, Ben shvus de is be maisa, Lishvusta leisbe maisa. The hamar lo amar lenachri zil achim. So the distinction between the two cases explains Rav Yosef to Abaye, and the distinction goes as follows: that when it comes to the case over here, that Amir Lanachri, the Amir Lanachri over here was to do what? In other words, we didn't ask the non-Jew to heat up the water. If we ask the non-Jew to heat up the water, so we're asking a non-Jew to violate Nisra Daraisa. Fine. So that's something that we wouldn't have allowed. But that's not what we asked him to do. The only thing that we asked the non-Jew to do was to simply go bring the hot water, which was already heated up, bring the hot water from one house to another within a chatzer, an un-eruved chatzer. That's all we asked the non-Jew to do. So we're asking the non-Jew to violate Nisra Darabanan. So there's a clear difference between Amir Lanachri on an Isra Daraisa and Amir Lanachri on an Isra Darabanan. The way, by the way, I'm presenting the Gemara, the way I'm reading the Gemara is like the Rif, meaning this is the Rif's understanding of the distinction. We're making a distinction within Amir Lanachri. And so Amir Lanachri for an Isra Daraisa you can't do. Amir Lanachri for an Isra Darabanan that you can do. And this Gemara right here is the basis of the idea that Shvus to Shvus, that if I'm violating one Isra Darabanan on top of another Issa Durabanan, it's a compound Issa Durabanan, bimakom mitzvah, meaning over here we're talking about a milah, so under those circumstances it would be okay. So asking a non-Jew is one Issa Durabanan. To carry water from one house to another is a second Issa Durabanan. That's shvus de shvus, bimakom mitzvah. And over here, for the purposes of being able to do the bris milah on Shabbos, so shvus de shvus, bimakom mitzvah is going to be mutter. Our Gemara over here is the source for that. Good, so that the Gemara says is now why under these circumstances what Rabbah did was totally legitimate and was totally fine. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the first story of today's daf. And now the Gemara just follows up with this idea that you have right now a chatzer and a mavui in which you have Rabbah and Abaye living in this chatzer / mavui, and meanwhile there's no Eruv, there's no Shituf, and that in of itself is amazing. And the Gemara now discusses. Amalei Rabba Bar Chanel Abaye Mavudis Beitrei Gavri Raver Veikar Rabbanan. So I don't understand. You have this Mavui where you have great Talmidei Chachamim living in this Mavui. Rabba Abaye and Lo Lehave Be Lo Erev Lo Shituf. And the idea now that there was no Erev and there was no Shituf, meaning I can't possibly understand how can we have this situation where you and Rabba are living in this Mavui. And meanwhile, it wasn't corrected. And it sounds very clear from our Gemara over here that making an Erev is something which is, which the Talmid of the Chachamim of the community should do. In other words, it's not just a luxury convenience. It's something that would make our Shabbos better, which of course it would. But on top of that, it's also an obligation. Meaning the Gemara doesn't say that clearly, but it's pretty clear in the Gemara that there really is an obligation to set up an Erev. So and on that the Gemara is asking Abaye. So I really don't understand how is it possible that there was no Erev and there was no Shita. So Amalei Ma'navid Mar. I'm sorry. So I'm Ma'navid. So Abaye goes on to explain and give explanations, the justifications in terms of why there was no Erev. So Malav Orche. So as far as asking Rabba to be the one responsible for the collection of the Erev, or probably over here it's a reference to the Shituf. So on a Teride, I'm sorry. So Malav Arche, it's just simply not proper for Rabba to do so. And on a Teride Begirsa, and also, in other words, I'm always involved in Limud HaTorah. And Inhu Lamashkeche. And as far as the other residents of the Mavui, they don't really seem to care. In other words, it doesn't really bother them. Okay, so. And the Gemara goes on to explain even further. And let's say I create a kinyan for the members of the chatzer, meaning fine. So the other members of the chatzer are really they don't mind. They're fine one way or another. And to go around and to collect from everybody, so that's going to be extraordinarily time consuming. And the time of Rabban, the time of myself, is better served in terms of learning Torah. This is all Abai's explanation. Now, what the Gemara is bothered by is that there's another way of collecting without collecting, and that is to be mezaka al yedei acher. In other words, in chavon l'adam shelo b'fanav, aval zachon l'adam shelo b'fanav. If you want, you could just simply go ahead and use your own food acquired on behalf of everyone else within the eruv, And despite the fact that they're not there, but as long as somebody receives it on their behalf, so then that would work in of itself. So basically you can collect a contribution from everyone without actually going in and collecting from everyone. Zachal Adam Shlo Befano. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Abai explains, but I can't do that. I financially am not in a position to do that. Kaven di Abai Laminai, velo Efshel Lesfei Nihalei, because consider now the following. My resources are extraordinarily limited. If someone were to come to me on Shabbos and said, hey, that shituf, or that erev that you made for everybody. So let's say that they asked me, can we have a little bit of it? And I'd say no. In other words, my resources are so limited. I only have so much bread. I simply can't share it with others. So if that's the case, batal shituf, that's not a shituf. D'tanya, echem ibnei mavu shebikish yayin v'shemen, v'lo nasan lo batal shituf. Meaning that the food that's collected for the shituf has to be communal food. That means to say that everyone has equal access to it. Now, obviously, it's limited in terms of how much it is, but the point is that it is something which combines everybody, so by definition, it has to be something which is communal. Anybody could walk in there and anybody could take. And Abai says, and if you ask me to use my food as a shituf, I simply do not have any spare food that I could be used as my shituf. My resources are so limited, so therefore, my food would not qualify as a good shituf. Now the Gemara says, okay, so but Rabba Bar Rav Chanan still is not letting Abai off the hook. Oh, I understand. You do have vinegar. In other words, okay, so bread I understand is slightly more expensive, but vinegar, you have vinegar, and it's in one of the barrels over there that I'm looking at right now. So why don't you use some of the vinegar that's in the barrel? Now, the fact that we're discussing vinegar right now is certainly giving us a sense that we're talking about a sheet of mavoi, not necessarily Erev Chatzeres. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, for sheet of mavoi, so you could use any food, almost any food. You can't use water, you can't use mushrooms, good, you can't use salt, right? That takes us way back earlier in the Masechta. But you could use pretty much every food. For Erev Chatzeres, you should be using bread, which is something with... We haven't seen super clear yet in the Gemara, but that's coming up a little bit later on, that you need to use bread. So by virtue of the fact that they were asking Abai about the vinegar in the barrel in his house, so clearly we're talking about the shituf, but regardless, the point is that you do have something. You have, I'm looking at a barrel right over there. Why not take some of the vinegar of that barrel? So Tanya, so the Gemara says, I'm just reading this again. So now, a revius of the vinegar that's in that barrel. So the Tanya ein mishatfin ba'otzar. So Abai says, no, we can't do that. We can't do that because you cannot make a shituf with food that is in your otzar. So the you have a storage house. You have food in the storage house. So you can't just simply say, you know, whatever, some of the food over there, so that's going to be applied towards the shituf. You can't do that. Why can't you do that? So the Gemara does not make it abundantly clear, but Rashi does, right? Or at least Rashi's understanding of the Gemara over here. Amos Shadfim Ba'otzer, Rashi writes over here, B'davar ha'otzer kagon chavish al yayin o peros, ha'mechunasim ein somchen alma shebesochan. Rashi says you can't rely on what's in it. Mishum de'ein breira ezel shoshituf. Because over here, look, if you're relegating all the food for the shituf, that would be fine, but you're not. You're just simply saying that of this food, some of it is going to be applied to the shituf, but you don't designate which one. So then in order for that to register, you need the concept, says Rashi, of breira, of retroactive decision, retroactive determination. Meaning that whichever food ends up being used for the shituf, right now I'm not saying which one it is, but later on when finally it is in fact discovered which food is going to be used for the shituf, so that means that that had to have been already designated from before Shabbos. To move the clock backwards and to say that decisions that are made at one point retroactively can go back to an early point in time, so that's the principle of Breira. And over here, as the Gemara is going to point out, so I don't subscribe, says Abaye, that one can rely on the principle of Breira in order to make these determinations. Rashi continues, Ezer shel shituf v'chi mistapik mimenu ikla memar azel leshituf. And it could very well be now that once we go to the warehouse, to the storage house, it could very well be that the shituf was already consumed because we don't subscribe to Breira. We can't just simply say that whatever decision we make now retroactively went back to the time of before Shabbos. Good. So this is all Abaye's explanation of why he doesn't have sufficient bread, and even the vinegar that's in his storage, so he doesn't rely on the principle of Breira, and that's why Abaye says that no shituf could have been made. V'hatanya, we're back in the Gemara, and the Gemara says, but wait a second, Mishtafin, there is another Bryce that says that you can use the wine, the vinegar of your storage house, and this Bryce over here certainly subscribes to the idea of Breira. So I'm Rav Oshia, Lokashi, Abay Shammai, Abay Salo. So Rav Oshia's response is, it's machlokes, machlokes between Abay Shammai and Abay Salo. Did not, we have the following Mishnah. Hameis babayis v'lo psachim harbe. Okay, so we've seen this Mishnah in Shas a number of times. And so over here, this is a Mishnah based on Tumas Mason, based on the principle of Tuma Sofa Latzes, where I have a home where there is human remains in this house. And we know that, of course, currently right now, while there's a mace in the house, so everything under the roof of the house is going to be subject to Tuma. This is Tumas Ohel. On top of that, not only anything under the house, but anything under the doorways of the houses as well. Meaning because the mace is going to be taken out of one of the doorways, and it has not yet been decided which doorway it's going to be taken out, so anything under the doorway of the house is also going to be tameh, based on the principle of sofa tumalatzes. So, if I have a house where there are many exits to the house, so kulan tameyin, so the doorways are all going to be tameh. Now, niftach echad mehem, if one of them was open, hu tameh v'kulan taharin, so it's going to be tameh and all of them are going to be tahar. And the Mishnah goes on, chishiv lo tziyav echad mehem, let's say you have a machshava, you have a consideration, a thought, of which exit you're going to use, which door we're going to use. Oh, b'chalon sheish bar bal arba, doesn't have to be a doorway, could also be a window as well. Matzil al kol apsachim kulan. So, it's going to be matzil on every other doorway, once a decision's been made which doorway it is. Beit Shammai min v'hu shechishev ad shelo yamas ha-meis. Now Beit Shammai says, fine, but this decision has to be made before the mace became a mace. And Basil is of the opinion that no, even after the person died, a machshava will work because according to Basil, a machshava can take us not only going forward but even retroactively as well. So the brisa that says that you can make a sheet of using the food in the storehouse. So that's subscribing to Breira, that's going like the Shita of Beis Hillel. Meanwhile, the Breira says he cannot be Mishtatev, so that is not relying on the principle of Breira. In other words, doesn't subscribe to the principle of Breira, and that's going like Beis Shammai. Now, the Gemara's conclusions over here, admittedly, are a little bit strange, because now it comes out that in Abaye's explanation of why it was he didn't use the vinegar in the barrels, in the storage, it's because he doesn't rely on Breira, and meanwhile, the way that we just presented the Mishnah, it's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether or not we do or we do not subscribe to Breira, and it happens to be the Shita of Beis Shammai that says that we don't subscribe to Breira. So it's a little bit strange, admittedly, that now Abaye's explanation is based on a Shita of Beis Shammai. Okay, and the Gemara doesn't follow up with that question, and admitting that is in fact seems to be certainly very curious. Okay. I kind of takes us now to the end of the second story about the, we're still finishing up the first story so far in this daf. We have two more stories to go through today. But in this daf, we had a story of a baby whose bris milah was on Shabbos. Water was in fact heated up. It got spilled. There was hot water in somebody else's house within this chatzer, within this mavui. And so the request was made, just bring in the hot water. But no Erev was made, no Shituf was made. So what do we do? The answer was Amir Lanachri. And then on that, after that, the Gemara's follow-up questions are very simple. How could we possibly have either a Chatzir or a Mavui where Abaye and Rabba are living in this Chatzir and Mavui, and meanwhile no Erev and no Shituf was being made? And Abaye goes ahead and gives an explanation as to why no Shituf has been made. Okay, next story in the Gemara. How Yunukidi Shape Chamima. There was another Bris Mila in another Chatzir, in which there was hot water prepared, but it spilled. So, Amr Lahu Rava Nishayla Le'imei Tzricha. Let's ask Mom if she wants hot water. So, Nachim Le'Nachri Agavime. And let a non-Jew heat up the water for the mother. The mother right now is a chola she'ein bo sakana. Obviously, this is 8 days postpartum, and so therefore she is in a state of a sakanas nefashos, not mamish. Meaning, if we're talking about a chola she'yesh bo sakana, so then we don't have to. I mean, we could heat up the hot water ourselves. Yes, there is a discussion as to in terms of mitigating the amount of iser for even a sakana, a chola she'yesh bo sakana. But let's right now just deal with the facts. The facts are is that a week postpartum, 8 days postpartum, she's a chola she'ein bo sakana. Now, for a chola she'ein bo sakana, so even though it's not critical and even though her life is not in danger, but still for a chola she'ein bo sakana, so Amir Lanachri would be perfectly legitimate, would be perfectly fine. So Rava says, good. So look, let's heat up hot water for mom, because mom right now is in a state of chola she'ein bo sakana, and we can ask a non-Jew to heat up the water for her. So Amale Rav Misharsha LeRava. So Ime Ka'ach LeTamare. Mom is doing fine. Take a look at her right now. She's eating dates. And somehow, again, this is, if we live back then, I'm sure we'd understand this better, but by virtue of the fact that she's eating dates, we see clearly that she's healthy. Okay, I don't fully understand why, but it doesn't matter. In other words, it was a sign back in the day that mom is doing just fine. She's not in any need of any kind of medical attention. So Amalei Emertun v'Amahu Denakila. So Rava says, okay, that doesn't mean anything. She's postpartum, and it could very well be that her thought process is a little bit cloudy at this point in time, and her eating dates is not to be symbolic of the fact that she's fine. Maybe she's still not fine. And it could very well be that we could heat up water for mom, and if heating up water for mom is acceptable, so then what we'll do, agav, heating up the water for the mom, is that we'll use some of the hot water for the baby as well. Okay, that is story number two. And now, story number three. How yinuki yishapi chamima. So, the third time this morning, where we're discussing a bris milah occurring on Shabbos, and hot water spilled. So, amar lehu rava. So, panu leimani mi bei gavrei lebei nashai. So Rabbi says, we'll do the following. We're going to do Bittul Rishus. Okay, that's coming up in just a moment. But before we do Bittul Rishus, so basically, we're taking a look at Rabbi's house over here. Now I know, right, if you have a picture, it'd be really helpful. But anyway, in Rabbi's house, it was a home in the Chatzer. Oh, by the way, the baby was in an adjoining Chatzer. Okay, they're not in the same Chatzer. That's a critical point for this discussion, as we will see later on. But anyway, in Rava's house within this chatzer, so there was a men's side and women's side to the house. Okay. And the men's side was in the front, closer to the, next to the exit to the chatzer. And the women's side was interior. And so what Rava says is good. So what we're going to do now is that we're about to do Bittul, but let's get ready to do Bittul. Bittul HaRishus. But before we do Bittul HaRishus, so we're going to move everything from the men's side to the women's side, to the interior of the house. And that's panu le'mani mi begavra le'beinashe. V'azil ve'es of hasam. And that's where I'm going to be for the rest of Shabbos. V'yivatalu chatzer. And then what I'm going to do is that I'm going to be mevatel my chatzer to the adjoining chatzer. Now hopefully at this point in time you recognize red flag should be going off, because this was a big part of yesterday's discussion and the day prior. The Gemara's in Samach Vav, Samach Zayin in Erevin, yesterday's daf, and 2 days ago, we talked extensively about being Mevatel Rishus from one Chatzer to another Chatzer. And we see now a situation where Rava, in practice, actually is ready to be Mevatel Rishus from one Chatzer to another. Stay tuned, as the Gemara is about to, you know, sound off the sirens. I thought you're not allowed to do that. So in a moment, the Gemara is going to say that. So, but anyway, and I'm going to be Mevatel. I'm going to be mevatel my rights to the chatzer to the other chatzer, and that way we'll be able to carry the hot water that's in this home over to the other house, which is in the other chatzer. It's an adjoining chatzer. So Amalei Ravina LeRava V'Amar Shmuel in Bittul Rishus Mechatzer LeChatzer. So Ravina says to Rava, wait 1 second. So I thought there was no Bittul Rishus from one chatzer to another. Now it's so funny because just moments earlier in today's daf, we talked about it, that if a psak was issued on a din derabanan, so we don't ask questions. We'll first listen to the psak, and then afterwards we'll ask questions. Over here in our story, so I don't know. Ravina is now challenging Rava. Rava just said what to do. And what Ravina should have done is should have tabled the discussion. Okay, anyway. So, or it could be that Ravina was asking after the fact. Okay, maybe that's the way to understand our Gemara over here. Anyway, so Amalei Ravina LeRav Avamra Shmuel Ein Bitter Rishus Mechatzel LeChatzer Yinal To Be Mevatel Rishus from one Chatzer to another. Amalei Rav's response is Anik Rav Yochanan Svirli Damit Yesh Bitter Mechatzel LeChatzer. So as you recall, back on the Dapim of Samach Vav and Samach Zayin, it's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. And so Rava says, I don't pass like Shmuel, I pass like Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan does allow for bitter rishus from one chatzar to another. V'ilo sever like a Shmuel, so the Gemara says, fine. So if you don't hold of Shmuel, so then I have another question for you, which is the following. I have another solution in terms of what you could have done. Nehava mar beduchte. You could have stayed where you were on the min side of the house. And v'nevato luhu lididu. And what you could do is you could be mevato, you can relinquish your rights of the chatzar to the members of the other chatzar. Now they can go over into your house and take the hot water, bring it back into their through your chatzar, back to their chatzar, back into their house. And then afterwards, and then what they could do is they could return the bittel, meaning that after you did bittel, so then what they could do after the water was transferred over to their house is now they can do bittel. And they can now relinquish their rights because they don't need the chatzar anymore, meaning the hot water is now brought to the house with the baby. And now as far as the baby is concerned, we're going to do the bris milah. And the remainder of their Shabbos now is set. And then afterwards, they can return bittel back to you. And that will now allow you to be able to carry from your house back to the chatzar. So you can have bittel with then a follow-up bittel by somebody else in the chatzar. This is the idea of bittel v'chozer umevato. So the Gemara says, and is this okay? Is this acceptable? So it happens to be that it's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. And as we're about to see in the moment, Rav is more on the side of kula, of leniency, where you can do that. So as long as you don't subscribe to the idea of Shmuel, so why doesn't this become a solution to you? So v'nehaju ina v'nevatlu lamar dahama Rav mevatlan v'chozer mevatlan. Rav's of the opinion that you can do this. Now Shmuel disagrees and says that you can't do that, but look, I already heard from you that you don't subscribe to Shita Shmuel, so if you don't subscribe to Shita Shmuel, you'd be fine with that. So Anna, so this is now Rava's explanation. Anna Bahaka Shmuel Sphirili, what are you talking about? I hold like Shmuel, Da'amar in Mavatlan v'chozim Mavatlan, where you cannot do Bittol and then a subsequent Bittol in a Chatzir. So I don't subscribe to that. I subscribe to the Shita Shmuel, where you can't do that. V'lav chataymahu. So the Gemara says, you know, aren't these two issues related? Meaning the question of whether or not you can be mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another, where Shmuel says you can't, and the idea of mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, where Shmuel says you can't, those two positions of Shmuel are connected. And so therefore it should be a package deal. Either you subscribe to both, or you subscribe to neither. Now, why are those positions connected? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So presumably these issues are connected because my time and mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. Why can't you do bittol followed then by a subsequent bittol by another member in the chatzar? And that presumably is lav mishum dikhevim de batle the rishus say istaglu mahachle gamre. Because once you do bittol, what does that do? That removes you from the chatzar. Not physically, but halachically. Your status right now is that you're no longer a member of this chatzar. You're totally out of it. The havalei keben chatzar acheres, it's analogous to you being now a member of somebody else's chatzar. Vein bittol rishus mechatzar lechatzar. So now, if somebody is going to return bittel back to you, they can't because it's as if you live in another chatzir. And Shmuel says, living in another chatzir, you can't do bittel from one chatzir to another chatzir. So the Gemara says, if that's their way to understand Shmuel, now it's a package deal. Once you subscribe that you are allowed to be mevatel rishus from one chatzir to another, like Rav, so that by definition would seem to mean that you also be able to subscribe to mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. So this is all the challenge to Rava. So, Marnami lo nivato. So if you subscribe to one, you should be subscribing to the other. So Hasam, so this is now, Rava says that the two issues are not necessarily connected. Hasam hanutayma, ki hechid olalahavi milsa derabban kechucha v'tlula. No, you don't understand. The issues are not necessarily connected. Meaning, I could hold like Rav, which is that you're allowed to be mevat rishus from one chatzar to another chatzar. On the other issue of mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, so I pass on like Shmuel, but the issues are not connected. Shmuel's position of mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin ve'ein chozer mevatlin, then you can't return bittol on Shabbos is because otherwise, think about how silly it gets. In other words, oh, we didn't make an Eruv? Fine. So you know what? I'll relinquish my rights to all the other members of the Chatzar so that way they can go into my house and take from that which is in my house and bring it out. And then afterwards, they could return Bittul. Where now when I want it back, so they'll just relinquish their rights and that'll give me the ability to go ahead and take it. And we're, it basically becomes a joke. And we've obviated, we circumnavigated around the entire institution of Eruv, and that's why Shmuel says you can't do it. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you can be mevatel from one chatzar or another. You can't be mevatel from one chatzar or another. These two issues are independent of one another. So I can paskin like Rav, where you're allowed to be mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another, but at the same time, I can also paskin like Shmuel, which is that you cannot be mevatel v'chozer mevatel. Adkan. That is all Rav's explanation. Gufa. The Gemara says, let's go back for a moment, let's discuss. Which is Rav Amar, Mevatlin v'chozrin, Mevatlin Shmuel Amar, Ein Mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. So on this issue of whether or not you could return Bittul on Shabbos, so Lema Rav Shmuel, but plugs the Rabban v'Rav Elazar k'miflegi. So the Gemara wants to give a little more svara and a little bit more understanding within this machlokus, connecting it to another machlokus, and that's the following. Rav Damar k'Rabban, Rav Zad, the opinion that Rav holds like the Chachamim. Which Chachamim are we making reference to? So, when a person is mevatel rishus, so the question becomes, how much of his rishus is he mevatel? Meaning, he has his house and he's got his rights in the chatzar. Is he being mevatel just the rights to his chatzar, or is he also being mevatel his house as well? And what Rav is suggesting, I'm sorry, what the Gemara is suggesting, is that Rav is in line with the shita of the Chachamim, that the only thing that you're being mevatel is only the rights to your chatzar, but not your house. Your house you're retaining to yourself. So that means to say that when you're mevatel rishus, you did not cede, you did not give up everything. In fact, you still have your house. Your house is still with you. And so therefore, if somebody's going to be returning bittul to you, so that's fine because you're still a member of this chatzir. That's Shitas Rav. And Shmuel's of the opinion Damak Rebbe Eliezer. Shmuel's in line with Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says that when a person's mevatel rishus, he's mevatel both his rights to the chatzir and he's being mevatel his home as well. And that means to say now that according to this, once you're mevatel rishus, you now give up not only the rights of the chatzar, but you give up your home. And effectively what you're doing now is you're totally ceding from this chatzar. And now, going back to what we mentioned earlier, it's as if I no longer live in the chatzar. Now somebody wants to return the bittul to me. Right now, I simply don't have any foothold in this chatzar. I don't have the rights of the chatzar. I don't even have my home as well. So therefore, nobody could cede it back to me because there is no more me in this chatzar. That's what the Gemara suggests, Amar Lecha Rav. So what Rav and Shmuel are going to would say to you is that don't do that. Don't take my position and pigeonhole me in either the Shita, the Chachamim, or Rebbe Eliezer. Certainly we can understand how it'd be more problematic to be pigeonholed like the Shita, Rebbe Eliezer. We don't normally pass them like the Shita, Rebbe Eliezer. And and not only that, but he's a Das Yachid over here against the Chachamim. But still, the Gemara is going to say that neither of them want to be pigeonholed. And Am Lecha Rav, what Rav would tell you, Anadamri, I feel like Rabbi Eliezer. I can even be subscribing to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Because I can look, I'm a Rabbi Eliezer, Hasam, I'm a Vata Rishos, Chaser Rishos, Bitel, Mishum de Bebayas, Belochas, Olo Dari Inche, Avala Inyan Istiluke Mi Amar. So he says, look, Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that when you're being mevatel rishus of the chatzar, you're also being mevatel your home, because what good is your house without the chatzar? Okay, and I know it's a point that certainly we could argue with, but the idea is that look, if I'm giving up the rights of the chatzar, my house pretty much becomes useless. Okay, so I'm giving up both, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I am ceding from the chatzar in total. It just simply means that the rights of my chatzar and the rights of my home I'm ceding, but I'm still basically retaining ownership of my home. And so therefore, it could be that I subscribe, in other words, Rav would tell you that even Rabbi Eliezer would subscribe to the idea of mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. Return bittul can be done to this person. That would be that would be Rav working within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. And we could do it the other way as well. Shmuel Amar, Anadamri, Afilu K'Rabbanan. No, I can even subscribe to the Chacham because I'd come kamir rabbanasam elamai debata bato de lo bato lo bato. Look, when a person is mevato rishus, so it's very easy to separate your home from your chatzar. I'm only ceding the rights to the chatzar, but not the rights to my house. Avamai debato miya istalat legamrei. However, what Shmuel will tell you is that look, what I've ceded, however, was a complete secession. I've totally removed myself from the chatzar. So for somebody then to go back and to give me back the chatzar, you can't give me back the chatzar because once I removed myself, that is a total siluk. It's a total removal, and so therefore I simply cannot get it back, right? No backseats, as the old expression goes. Okay, so the Gemara has suggested that the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel of mevatel mechoz mevatlin. Rav says you are mevatel mechoz mevato. Shmuel says you cannot. The Gemara tried to align it with the machlokus between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of when a person's mevato, is he mevato both chatzar and home, that shita's Rabbi Eliezer, or is he mevato just chatzar not home, that shita's Chachamim. And the Gemara thought to make alignment between the two machloksim. The Gemara said not necessarily. Here we go with a second attempt to do so. Amar v'acha barachanan amar roshesh's kitanai. Maybe the machlokas Rav and Shmuel goes like another machlokas tanaim, mishenasim reshus of otsia ben bishogim ben bemezid oser. Someone who was mevatal reshus on Shabbos, and then goes ahead and carries from his home into the chatzar, basically reneging his bittel. So, and he does so, but whether it was shogig or whether it was mezid oser. So what he does is he creates restriction, meaning to basically say he's reclaiming. He's reclaiming the rights of the chatzar. And divrei Rav Meir, the shita's Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda amar b'mezid oser b'shogeg in oser. And Rav Yehuda is of the position, no, if he doesn't b'mezid, so then yes, he is reclaiming. But if he does so b'shogeg, ain't oser. So my lav b'hakim eflegi, mar sever mevatlin v'chozim mevatlin. So now the Gemara suggests that maybe this is exactly the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Meir, who's of the position that if you bring your kalim from your home into a chatzar that you already were mevatel, so you reclaiming it, so Rav Meir's of the position reclaiming it, maybe subscribe to the sheet of Rav, of Mevalim v'chozim Mevalim. Umar Savra, Eim Mevalim v'chozim Mevalim. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, is holding like the Shita of Shmuel, where the person brought it out, b'shogig he's Eino Oser, because he subscribes Eim Mevalim v'chozim Mevalim. Now, this suggestion of the Gemara is admittedly a little bit difficult, because even within the Shita of Rav Yehuda, if you do so b'mezid, so you can reclaim. So that's a little bit difficult because if Rabbi Yehuda's position is ein mevatlin v'chozer and mevatlin, so then what difference should it make between whether you did it b'shogeg or whether you did it b'mezid? So admittedly, that's a little bit of a sticking point. But meanwhile, this is the Gemara's second attempt to line up the machlokes Rav and Shmuel to a machlokes hatanayim. And here too, the Gemara balks at this suggestion. Amar v'achar bar shechlis v'mishmei derav alo dekuli amma ein mevatlin v'chozer and mevatlin. It could very well be that everybody in this brisa agrees with Shita Shmuel, which is that you cannot return bittel. And over here, the issue is whether or not a kenas was made that if we did so b'shogeg, so are we worried that once we allow it, if done b'shogeg, so then we're worried that maybe the next time he'll do b'mezid. So Mar Saver Kansu Shogi got to Mazid, and Mar Saver Lo Kansu Shogi got to Mazid. And the Reb Meir's position is that we make a Knas, Shogi got to Mazid, and Reb Yehuda's of the position that we don't make a Knas, Shogi got to Mazid. That's one way to explain it. Reb Ashi says, no, I'm a Rav Shmuel, but Pilta to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbanan Kamiflagi. The machlokis between Rav and Shmuel is the machlokis, Rabbi Lazar, and the Chachamim, as we suggested previously, meaning, but this machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here at the two dots, and tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Meanwhile, excellent opportunity to recap our daf today. Basically, three same stories, but three different responses to the same story. Each time we had a situation in which a baby. The baby was having a bris milah on Shabbos, and the baby was in a house in the chatzer, and they already heated up the water before Shabbos, but the water spilled. So we had three spills today. And so in spill number one, So the suggestion was is that we have other heated water in our chaser, in our mavui. And they asked Rabbi, and they asked Abaye, so why don't we bring the hot water from somebody else's house to our house? So the answer was that there was no Erev and there was no Shitov. So the Gemara says, so ask a non-Jew to bring it. And that was Rabbi's Psak. Abaye says, oh, I didn't like that Psak. But anyway, after back and forth, the Gemara said, that's fine. And the reason why it's fine, as the Rif reads the Gemara, is because, and by the way, it's not the only way to read the Gemara. There are other ways to read it, but I'm presenting it like the Rif. And that is because over here, asking a non-Jew to violate Nisr de Rabbanan, so that's Shavuos to Shavuos and Shavuos to Shavuos b'makom mitzvah, that would be mutter. That's story number one. Gemara just followed up on Samech Chesem and Aleph with the question, with a basic question of, how can Abaye and Rabba live in a chatzer and not take the responsibility, the ownership of making an Erev and a Shitov instead of chatzer? Good, the Gemara had explanations, and it led to a discussion within Breira. Okay, and it was a little bit strange because Abaye comes out, the way Rashi explained the Gemara, Abaye comes out on the side that he does not subscribe to Breiran, and that aligns with the Shita Beishamai. Okay, anyway, that was story number one. Story number two, the hot water spilled on Shabbos for a baby that had a bris meal on Shabbos. So Rav's solution to the problem was, oh, let's heat up the water for mom, because mom's a chol hashem b'sakana. And we'll ask a non-Jew to heat up the water for mom because you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha and issa d'oraisa for a chol hashem b'sakana. So that is story number two. She looks healthy, the Gemara says. And she may look healthy, but she's not really that healthy. And you can ask a non-Jew to violate issa d'oraisa for mom, and then we'll just make use of whatever left of water for the baby. The third time, the Gemara says that water spilled. And so in the third story, so Rava says, fine, so we'll do bitul rishus. It was bitul rishus from one chatzer to another, meaning that the baby was in an adjoining chatzer, and for Rava to have done bitul rishus, so it required to follow the position that you're allowed to be mevatul rishus from one chatzer to another. To that, the Gemara says that's fine because Rava subscribes to that viewpoint that you are allowed to be mevatul rishus from one chatzer to another, meaning it subscribes to the shita of Rav and not to the shita of Shmuel. And then the remainder of today's daf was, why didn't he allow for mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin? After he was mevatel rishus, why doesn't the other side return bitl back to him? So why does he allow it? And that, in fact, is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav is mekel on that issue, Shmuel's machmir on that issue. And once Rava clearly favors the position of Rav regarding being mevatel for rishus from one chatzah to another, so shouldn't he also be mekel like Rav on the other issue of mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin? And the remainder in the balance of today's daf points out that the two issues are not necessarily linked. And then, in the balance of today's daf, we went through this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel of mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. Can it be aligned with a machlokes ha-tanayim? Suggested Gemara, maybe it's aligned with the machlokes ha-tanayim of the Chacham and Rebbe Eliezer regarding how much are you mevatel? Are you mevatel the rights to your chatzer? Are you also mevatel the rights to your home as well? Machlokes Chacham and Rebbe Eliezer, maybe that aligns with the Shita of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara suggests maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Gemara went back and forth on that issue. And maybe it aligns with another machlokes tanaim, machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yehuda, as to whether or not after you're mevatel rishus, can you reclaim the bittel. That's a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, a question of whether you did b'shogeg, whether you did b'nezid. Maybe that aligns with the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says not necessarily as well. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf.